The book of Proverbs in chapter 1, verse 3, describes itself as a book which its purpose is to teach people to live disciplined and successful lives, to help them do what is right, just, and fair. That's good, right? That's something we all want for not only ourselves, but we especially want it for our kids. So we've been working through the book of Proverbs, and if you want to be turning to Proverbs chapter 4, if you take your Bible and open up just to right about to the middle, you'll be just about there, either right before or right after. But the book of Proverbs right in the middle, and it was written by some really smart, successful people thousands of years ago. One of the guys who wrote most of these Proverbs was the king of Israel. Like, you can actually get on a plane and fly over to where this guy lived and ruled, and he was known as one of the richest and wisest men in history. Like, he was the man, and we have a lot of wisdom to learn from him. Wisdom is one of those things that isn't always easy to get, because it's the quality of having experience and knowledge that leads to good judgment. And experience is something we're not born with. Like, you have to live to get it. And same thing with knowledge. Like, that's not something quickly grasped. It oftentimes is gained by learning the hard way and through going through life and feeling the pain and kind of auto-correcting. Our culture does this and has done this, and we're kind of a few things that our culture over the last few decades have been learning together is that if you smoke a lot of cigarettes, it leads to emphysema. And like, if you rewind history, movies that are 30 years old versus movies now, drastic change. Like, we as a culture have learned a little bit of wisdom when it comes to smoking, or drinking soda leads to cavities. I remember when I moved here, I got kids soda all the time, and the kids were like, no, I want water. I'm like, what? What's up with you? And a lot of it is because we live in a culture that teaches them, drink a lot of soda, a lot of cavities, don't do it. Or tanning, a lot of tanning leads to skin cancer and vice versa. I learned the hard way this spring. I bought a new tool/toy. It's an Echo brand chainsaw with a 36-inch arm. It's like a man's toy. Like, it's awesome. And I remember I learned the hard way. I decided to use this huge chainsaw to cut a huge stump that was way too tall and way too big. And so I made a swipe at it, and it wasn't easy. It took a long time to cut through, and I didn't get all the way through, even with the big chainsaw. So I figured, hey, I'm going to play it smart. I'm going to cut this stump into four sections and just cut off one section at a time. So I get my chainsaw, and just right over the top of this big old stump, I just slowly make a cut right through, which is, if you're a chainsaw guy or a chainsaw expert, you're thinking, you shouldn't do that. I know. I didn't know. But I was cutting through the big stump, and as I'm doing that, smoke starts coming up out of it, and I'm just thinking, it must be moist in there, and the chain's hot, so naturally steam's coming up. And so as I'm going, the chainsaw's working harder and harder and harder, and I almost get through the first cut, and my chainsaw stops. And so I end up working it out, and my chain wouldn't move. So I took the chain, I had to take the chainsaw all apart, take the chain off, clean it out, lubricated up the chainsaw, put it back together, started up, started cutting again, and like really quick, it stopped and the chain froze, and like, you couldn't spin it. I'm like, what in the world? So I wasted half of my day wrestling with this dumb chainsaw, which I ended up bringing to the repair shop and saying, hey, will you fix this for me? And I get a call a little bit later from them, and they said, you need a new chain. Your chain's shot. It's done. And I'm like, it's brand new. It's like the second time I've cut with it. And he said, yeah, it's gone. He said, you need a new one. So I was telling my friend about it, and he goes, what were you doing? And I told him, he goes, Josh, he said, you had a cross-cutting chainsaw blade on that. He said, those are designed to cut across the grain, not with it. If you cut with the grain, you need a ripping chain. I didn't know that. I learned the hard way. I ruined my chainsaw in the process. If only I would have asked before. Hindsight is oftentimes 20/20 and easy to be seen. It's easy to see what we should have done, like read the manual to your chainsaw before you operate it. It's easy to see after the situation is finished. My friend Mike, who's staying with us this weekend, he was telling me this weekend that over the past 12 months for his work, He has flown over 60 times in 12 months. That is a lot of TSA lines. Like, holy smokes. And he was saying that, he arrived at our house this weekend, and he was like, Josh, he goes, oh my word. He's like, I finally completed a TSA pre-check, which was way easier than I expected. He goes, and you pass by the TSA line, like the whole line. He goes, I should have done this 12 months ago. And all of those hours and hours and hours, he stood in TSA line like a fool just because he didn't know it was so easy to get a TSA pre-check. A lot of times we don't learn the easy way on stuff that unfortunately is much more serious than something like a chainsaw or standing in line with a TSA. Sometimes we waste a lot of time and money pursuing a degree or a career that doesn't fit us or the culture we live in. And we don't know it until it's too late. And sometimes it's friendships that we recognize too late that really negatively influenced us. Sometimes it's, for some people, they married a spouse that they should not have married, and they don't know until it's too late. And sometimes it's the way you raised your kids. You wish you would have known better and did things different. And whether it's a lighthearted one like a chainsaw or a serious one, it would be nice if there was a way for us to see into the future in a way that would inform us before we made our decisions, not after, and then we have to pay the consequence. Like, it would be nice if we could talk to someone who lived 20 or 30 years ahead of us, further down life's path, who could tell us, like, the smart way of doing things instead of having to learn the hard way. And today, Proverbs chapter 4 wants to suggest that we have that opportunity at our fingertips. It wants to tell us that God has put someone in our lives who is ahead of us in life and who can give us wisdom without having to earn it the hard way. Proverbs 4, 1 through 6 goes on and talks about how God has given us a source of wisdom. And before you tune me out, it's called your parents. Like, your parents are that. It says this. Proverbs 4, 1 through 6. It says, listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. I give you sound learning, so don't forsake my teaching. For I too was a son to my father, still tender and cherished by my mother. And then he taught me also. And he said to me, take hold of my words with all of your heart. Keep my commands and you will live. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forsake my words or turn away from them. Do not forsake wisdom and she will protect you. Love her and she will watch over you. Like your parents can be that source of wisdom for you. And the Proverbs in this passage and several others gives tips for how to learn before you experience things. It gives tips to kids, and it gives tips to parents as well on how to help your kids. And today we're going to just talk about just a few of those. And the first one, we're going to focus on the kids real fast. Kids, for all of you, how many of you, whether kids or adults, how many of you are middle children? Middle children. I hear a lot of middle children complain about being middle children. Most of you guys know that I'm the eighth out of 11 children, so I can relate with you a little bit. The eighth, and I remember growing up as an eighth-year-old, I actually loved it. Like, being the eighth child for me, I realized there were a lot of perks. Being this, growing up, some of my early memories being the eighth out of 11 kids, I remember it from a young age when I was a little kid. I remember my older siblings thinking about and making decisions on whether or not they're going to college. Most of my siblings said yes, going to college. I had one that said no. And I was able to watch them over the next decade or two, see how that panned out for them and how that worked out for their careers. And I was able to watch them as they went off to college and how they did, the goof-offs and the ones who took it seriously. And I was able to watch them as they started dating and when they broke up and were heartbroken. I was able to watch them as they got engaged and got married. I was able to watch the ones who had happy marriages and the ones that had a little bit more of a rocky road. And I was able to watch siblings start businesses and learn from their failures of their business startups and then have thriving businesses. And like all of that, I was able to watch them like 20 years ahead of me. And like I was able to sit back and take notes. Like, okay, I want to do that and I don't want to do that. And like you're able to learn from them so that you can start off at a faster pace. And whether you, even if you don't have seven siblings ahead of you, almost all of us have this ability to do that same thing, except with our parents. Like, if we can put into practice of watching and learning from our parents' strengths and weaknesses, successes and failures, we naturally gain wisdom that gives us a lot of advantages when we go to make good decisions in life. So kids, watch and learn from your parents, like regularly. Now, parents, a tip for you. They said this, there was a study done in Michigan of infants who watching TV, and one of their conclusions was a 14-month-old baby can watch TV for 20 seconds only and copy the behavior that they see on the TV in 20 seconds. 20 seconds is what they need. So if a TV can influence your kid with 20 seconds, just think how much power you have to influence your kid as your kid learns to watch and learn from your behavior. One of our greatest responsibilities as parents is given in Deuteronomy 6:6-7, where God basically just gives the nation of Israel a bunch of rules and commands, and then he says this. He says, these commands that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Like, study them, know them. And then he says, impress them on your children. And the way that you do that, it says in the next sentence, talk about the laws with your kids when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down. And when you get up, as you live life with your kids, just talk with them about God and about God's ways and about what God says. But the key ingredient to all of that is your kids need time spent with you. They need you. They need to be around you. They need to have the opportunity to watch you in various scenarios, not just on vacation and not just watching Netflix on the couch with them. They need to watch you work. And they need to watch you play. They need to watch you laugh and cry. They need to watch you brush your teeth and clean your room. They need to watch you eat healthy food or eat healthy food, not just watch it. They need to watch you tie your shoes and ride your bike. They need to watch you go to church and mow your lawn. They need to watch you create a budget. And they need to watch you interact with your friends and your neighbors and with the police. They need to watch you smooching on your wife or your husband. They need to watch you apologize when you mess up. They need to watch you praying when you're genuinely stressed out about something in life. Like, they need to watch you. So let them live well by imitating you, but make sure that you let them stay at your side during those times. Don't push them away. All right, second tip for the kids. This tip was in the first verse that we read. It said, listen to a father's instructions. Pay attention and gain understanding. So the tip for the kids is, as you watch your parents, as you grow up, and as you learn from your parents' examples, good and bad, make sure that you ask a lot of questions. Say things regularly like, Dad or Mom, how do I, or will you show me how, or how do you? The other day I was sitting on the couch and my 4-year-old was thinking about something. And I was probably watching Netflix or something. And And he came up and he goes, "Dad, when's our bodies going to die?" Ooh, nice. He's thinking about something. And like, so I tried to pounce on the opportunity. I said, "Ooh, good question." I said, "None of us know besides God." I said, "Some of our bodies die when we're really old, like older than grandma, grandpa. And some of our bodies die when we're middle-aged, like mom and dad. And some of our bodies die, unfortunately, young, like kiddos. Like we don't know when our bodies are going to die." I said, "But that's why we always need to say yes to Jesus. Like, that's why we need to have faith in Jesus, because one day we're going to stand before God and we're going to debrief with him about how we lived life and how and everything we've done." And I said, "Well, and that's also why Jesus died on the cross, because one of the things that God has to do is he has to judge people for the bad things they've done, and God doesn't want to have to punish any one of us. And so that's why Jesus died on the cross, to pay for our sins, so that anyone who says yes to Jesus and puts their faith in him," he said that when he died on the cross, he paid for their sins so that they don't have to when they stand before God. And like, it was able to, and he just sat there and just absorbed all of it because he was willing to ask a question and set me up as a parent to like tell him what my brain knew and his brain did not know yet. And it was fun. And parents, take advantage of those opportunities. Like, look for ways to teach your kids and look for ways to share what you have in your head that they don't have in their head yet. Like, transform that data to their brain. Transport. Like, create opportunities to not only teach them the basic skills of life, like teaching your boys how to ride bikes and to stay dry at night, but also create opportunities to discuss serious issues. And issues that are deep and sometimes hard for a four-year-old's brain to grasp. I watched a show once, a documentary of a mom who got in like a car accident, or car broke down, and she was stuck out in the snow for a long period of time. And her family, her kiddos, young kiddos, were afraid that maybe she died. The story ended positive. She was rescued and she made it back to her kids. But in the meantime, the two little kids who didn't have a dad and just their mom, they were worried. And one of them said, "Mom can't die yet because she hasn't taught us everything we need to know yet." Like, they have all, like, kids know that they need to know more about life. And parents, God gave them you, for you to tell them how to live life well. So teach them and share your knowledge. My last tip out of Proverbs for kids is one that perhaps none of you kids will do, because it's super hard and unrealistic. An unrealistic tip that Proverbs gives to kids. But if you can get yourself to do this, which is nearly impossible, it'll pay off in really large ways. You guys ready for it? The tip that you're not going to do? That is, learn from and learn to appreciate it when your parents correct you and discipline you. In this book, in chapter 13:1, it says, a wise son accepts his father's discipline. Like, when his father or his parents get on his case and discipline him in a way, a wise son does not get huffy and puffy and do what my two-year-old daughter is great at doing and stomping their feet and going off. Like, that's not a wise person. A wise person accepts it. And then in verse 15:5, it says, a fool rejects his father's discipline, but he who regards reproof is prudent, which is someone who is good at thinking ahead and making good decisions about the future. So if you're a kid, next time your parents get on your case and discipline you, take time to really process, why did they do that? And know that they love you and that they're actually smart people trying to help you get smarter. And that is their way of doing it. So get smarter through the process. I had a sister who was griping to her friend when she was a teenager, and she was griping about my parents and just telling her friend about how ridiculous my parents were because they had these strict dressing rules and dating rules, and like, she was just telling them about all the ridiculous things my parents made her do. Like, they won't let me wear this, and they won't let me date this guy, and blah, blah, blah. And she was just all huffy and puffy about it. And then her friend's response always stuck out to her. Her friend said, "Man, I wish I had a dad who cared like that." And like parents who discipline you, they hate disciplining you because they want to be your friend. And just know if they're disciplining you, they're doing it because they want to help you be smarter. So listen to them and process it well. And parents, we live in a culture where disciplining and correcting your kids is so unpolitically correct. Like, it's not looked at as a good thing by our culture, and it's not easy. But here's the deal. No one else has the power to discipline your kids besides you. Like, you send your kids off to daycare, they're not going to discipline your kids. Their job is to keep your kids alive and give them back to you. Like, it's your job to discipline them. You send them off to school, and teachers can't discipline your kids. They're managing 44 kids. And their limitations are great. They're going to teach your kids. Let them teach your kids. And it's your job to discipline your kids. And when they get older and they get a job, their employers aren't going to discipline them. Their employers are going to fire them. So, like, I know it's not fun and it's not politically correct, but discipline your kids while you have the chance. Proverbs 13:24 says, "He who loves his son disciplines him diligently and regularly." And then it says in 29:1, it says, "The rod and reproof give wisdom." Like, discipline helps kids get smart, so discipline them and discipline them well. My wife, we were talking about this last night of good examples, and she shared a story. She said when she was in high school, she was a cross-country runner, and she and her teammates were just they were all upset about their whole season because they changed the course. They did construction on the cross-country course, and they changed it to where instead of being a nice, long, big loop through the woods, it's now a circle that you have to repeat the dumb circle twice. And it ended with an uphill slope the whole way. And she was like, and they cut out the woods, which was the fun and distracting part. And their whole team was just ready to, like, they were just all upset and they hated it. And they just griped and griped and griped. And Amy's dad is not a man of many words. But there was one time when she was griping and he just cut her off and he said, "Hey," he said, "quit griping." He said, "You guys are going to run 2.5 miles either way, no matter what the course. Like, you're gonna run it. So you might as well enjoy it." And, like, for whatever reason, that stuck out to her. And now, like, as she faces, because her dad corrected her in that moment, as she approaches tough life circumstances that she doesn't like and she doesn't have control over, like, that always reminds her to have a good attitude. And, like, you can't help it and you're going to go through it anyway, so you might as well enjoy it. And, like, it sticks with her. Just like all of our parents, when they disciplined us, it sticks with us. It's a powerful thing. So, parents, give it to your kids. Give them the opportunity to be corrected. Wisdom is not something that is easy to get. It's hard to acquire wisdom, and it's hard to teach wisdom. But the book of Proverbs, if you turn back to Proverbs chapter 3, Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 13, it talks about how valuable wisdom is and how we ought to fight for it. Not just want it and hope that we get it and learn about it, but fight for it and be willing to sacrifice for it. Like the Proverbs talks about giving up everything in order to acquire it. Like, it's so valuable. Like, it makes the point that if you have to choose between a lot of wealth or wisdom, choose wisdom. Because wealth, when you get it, you're going to spend it and it's going to be gone. But wisdom, if you get it, you'll not only be smarter for the rest of your life, but you can make a lot of money with wisdom too. It says this, chapter 3, verse 13. It says, "Blessed are those who find wisdom, those who gain understanding, for she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold," which isn't doing too bad right now. "She is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand." Long life is in her right hand. "And in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. Like, don't we want that for our kids? She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. Those who hold her will be blessed. Verse 21 says, "My son, do not let wisdom and understanding out of your sight. Preserve sound judgment and discretion. They will be life for you, an ornament of grace, an ornament to grace your neck. Then you will go on your way in safety, and your foot will not stumble." I want that for my kids. I want them to have those benefits. But we have to fight for them, because if you just think about it, our life is not very conducive for what we're talking about. There are many natural hindrances that prevent parents from teaching their kids to be wise. And I mean, just practical things like our busyness. Like, if you just think about it, like, I woke up this morning before my kids woke up, and I showered and left the house before my kids did. I didn't see my kids. So this morning, my kids learned nothing from me. And a lot of us have careers where we have to get up early. And a lot of times we have to stay out late. And a lot of times we have to travel. And that's part of our life. And our kids, they don't learn from us when they're not with us like that. And not only that, but our kids, if you look at their schedules are full too. They go off to school at an early morning before the sun rises a lot of times, especially here in Maine. And then they have to stay late for sport practices, and they get home and eat dinner, and then they go do homework, and they go to bed, and they repeat. And then on the weekends, they want to play with their friends. And like, natural obstacles that prevent this wisdom process from taking place. And then that's on top of the issue that we have with pride. Like, our pride and our kids' pride, and oftentimes the broken relationships that are there, my kids don't always want to listen or learn from me because there's some friction in our relationship. And in order to maintain a relationship where wisdom can be taught and received, like, you have to spend a lot of time to nurture that relationship and have fun in that relationship in order to have those moments. And like, it just requires a lot of time that sometimes I can't give them. And sometimes we lack the skill of communication. Like, our kids lack to know how to ask us, and we lack to know how to express our feelings. We don't know how to always talk serious with our kids about serious issues. And then the fear of disciplining, like we talked earlier, like, all of those things are just natural hindrances of this wisdom process, but the proverb says it's worth fighting for. Like, adjust what you need to adjust in life. Like, adjust your job if you have to. Like, adjust your career, adjust your kids' schooling, whatever it takes, wisdom is worth fighting for. And it might cost you financially, it might hurt your career, it might hurt a lot of things, but it's worth it. In the long run, it'll be worth it for you and your kids. Like, it's worth it. Ruth Rinkle, who I don't know who it is, but she's the one who did this quote, so I need to give her credit. She said this: "Sometimes the poorest man leaves his children the richest inheritance." Some of us, we look at our parents as adults, and sometimes our parents were a genuine disappointment. And we think back and say, not much I can learn from my parents. Or maybe you're a teenager and you think about that, think about your parents in this way. Like, my parents cannot teach me anything valuable. And I just want to make this point. All parents teach wisdom through their example. All of them. And both their successes and their failures, you can learn from your parents. I have a friend who once told me about his dad, who was not an excellent dad. And he talked about how his dad was never loving for him. Like, his dad never did anything for his benefit. Like, his dad was a selfish guy. And his marriage ended in a divorce, not a good job, because he was just a selfish, not a good dad. He was a selfish person. And my friend learned from his dad's failures. My friend now has a healthy marriage and a beautiful family and a wonderful career that he's excellent at. And because he studied his dad and he learned wisdom from his dad. All parents teach wisdom. You can learn something from your parents, one way or the other. And I just want to leave you with this. The next time, challenge. The next time you ask God for wisdom to help you know what decisions you ought to make about something, check and see if God's already given that wisdom to your parents to share with you. So the next time, no matter what your age, young or old, before making your next big decision, go talk with your parents about it. Your parents are a God-given resource for wisdom. Let's pray. God, you're good to us, and you've made it part of a natural process to help us have resources in our life that help us live smart and live successful. And I pray that you would help all of us, our youth and us adults, become more and more wise. We thank you for our parents. We say all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.